Well, Walter Underwood told of going to a Dallas Cowboy game one afternoon. He said he was seated in one of the end zones. He did not have good seats. And it was particularly hard to see the players because one guy a few rows ahead of him kept jumping up and down. And when things went well, he'd get up. When things went bad, he would holler and scream. He'd point at the officials and he'd say all kinds of things at the top of his lungs. Well, in the fourth quarter, the score was tied. And the Cowboys had the ball. It was now or never. All of a sudden, the man jumped up. He turned around. He faced backwards. And he began to lead everyone in a cheer. Well, the man was shocked because he recognized him as a member of his own congregation. And he said, I've never seen him that animated on Sunday morning. We're going to talk about Psalm 100 today. Well, it's on page 606 in your pew Bible. And this is a psalm that doesn't say whisper or mumble or stir around, afraid you're going to disturb the people around you. It says to shout with all your might. Let everyone know the God of creation is your God, that he is with us and he's on our side. And that's what a lady named Heather would have us do. Her husband went to his alma mater football game. With 2 minutes to go, the outcome was hanging in the balance. He called her and let her listen to the game. And there were 108,000 people in the stadium. They were mostly rooting for Penn State. That was the home team and where the game was being held. And on one side of the team, they would scream, "We are!" And then they'd respond, "Penn State!" And then they'd say, "We are!" And they'd respond, "Penn State!" Finally, the buzzer ended and the game was over. And Penn State had beat Michigan State by 4 points. And the crowd went wild. Heather said, you know, I got teary-eyed listening to that. There were these people who were so pumped, so excited, declaring their allegiance. You know, they were claiming their heritage, their colors, their mascot, their school. There is something powerful about belonging to something bigger than yourself. Well, Psalm 100 is going to shout that we belong. We belong to our God. He is our God. We are his. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. But you know, it's maybe not, we are God's is not quite as catchy maybe as we are Penn State, but it sure means a whole lot more. And you know, we are God's and we celebrate him. Let's pray and then we're going to jump into Psalm 100. Lord, we thank you for your word. It gives us reason to be glad. We have reason to be grateful for you are God and you are good. And we give you thanks this day. I pray the children downstairs would learn and grow and be challenged in their faith so they would be praising you. And Lord, I pray we would be encouraged to give thanks to you as well. Thank you for our time in your word. We don't know who wrote Psalm 100, but it is connected with a bunch of other psalms, like Psalms like 93, 96, all the way up to Psalm 100. And it's almost like the culmination. This select group of psalms is celebrating the kingship of God and those who belong to the king. And then you get to Psalm 100, and it's the fourth quarter, and the team just scores. It's the hallelujah chorus. It's interesting because it's the only psalm that says, a psalm for giving thanks. And that's part of the inspired word. It's filled of thanks with who God is and what he does. The summary is, be glad he's God, be grateful he's good. You know, as God's people, we have reason to be glad. We can be glad. The psalm starts out, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. In some translations, let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I had heard a while ago, there was a Christian festival in kind of a rural area, and there were tons of young, wild-eyed Jesus freaks. And they were they'd had a great time all week in praising the Lord. Well, they decided to go to church. They weren't home yet, so they found one. And it was kind of one of those, an old stone building that had a tall balcony. And so they decided to go up there. You know, they weren't dressed like the folks downstairs, but hey, they love God. We love God. We're in a great place. Well, it turned out to be kind of stuffy. It was a place with lots of smells and bells, you know. The pastor was pretty buttoned up, and, you know, he prayed in King James while the congregation looked like they were sucking on pickle juice through a straw. Well, the reading was Psalm 100, and he kind of droned and intoned in a deep voice, let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Meanwhile, everyone sat there with slumped shoulders and deadpan eyes and sagging lips, but not this one kid in the balcony. When he heard make a joyful noise, he did, all right! And the pastor about fell out of the pulpit, and so did the people in the pews. But when the psalmist calls for noise, he means it. Imagine it's like when you're at a concert yelling for your favorite band, and you yell, crank it up. You know, I know you do that, don't you, Nancy? Come on, Bill Gaither, let's hear it. Woo, woo, or whatever, you know. The psalmist expresses, be loud, be excited. And I love it. First thing he says is really, shout. Make a joyful noise. He says, shout. This is a picture of a spontaneous shout of victory. There's been a battle. You don't know how it's gone. And the messenger comes running back to your town. He's out of breath. But as he enters into the city, he raises his hand and goes, victory. And everyone in town goes, wah! And the king is on his way back tomorrow. When the king comes into town, there's this shout of triumph. People are in the streets. They are excited. And that's how our joy in the Lord can be, and maybe should be. Now, not all the time, because we have our moments. Life is hard at times. We don't feel good. It's interesting, though. You know, I know we're to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I learned this week the shortest verse in the Greek New Testament is rejoice always. Of course, we know the shortest verse in the New Testament in English is Jesus wept. So there is a place for both. But if God's done something great, whoop it up. Let him know. Let others know. If he's answered your prayer, shout for joy. I love the different prayers. We want to come with, we can ask for prayer. We want to praise too. You might be thinking, I'm more reserved, calm, dignified individuals. I don't make weird faces like the pastor up in front. Guess what? The Psalms over and over and over keep saying, shout. Make a noise. And maybe we need to be doing that. Maybe try it. Do it at home and then bring it to church. Sometimes we don't feel like it. I've had those days. But sometimes when the scripture says, do it, we do it until the feelings follow. Psalm 98:4, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp. With the harp, the sound of singing and trumpets, and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord the King. Matthew 12 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Some of you have had me in your homes and listened to me rant and rave and holler during football games. And maybe that's why I hadn't gotten invited back this year. Nevertheless, I make noise. You see a great play or you're on your seat, you can't help. But God is doing great things all the time. We may not need to be screaming at God, go God, blah! We can be like, Lord, you have done good. We can express it. It says all the earth. This is not just Israel. This is not just the rocks and dirts and the minerals. This is people everywhere. Whether you're in Thailand, Tanzania, Timbuktu, Talent, Tiger, Turkey, or Trail. Everywhere. And I love the fact this is not just for the Jews, but the way has been opened for all people who will come to faith in Christ. Psalm 97 says, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the islands be glad. Psalm 71, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you. I, whom you have redeemed. Wow, I who was destined for hell am now a child of God and on my way to heaven. Wow, that's worth getting excited about. But we're not just to do it by ourselves. Psalms 22 says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation I will praise you. So let me encourage you, be glad and shout. And verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Shout and serve. Now, maybe not, I'm doing the work, you know, maybe not kind of shouting. But to serve means to minister. It's like the priest before the altar. Of giving ourselves to God. And Romans 12 talks about present your body as a living sacrifice, which is your act of worship towards God. You know, but you might think, well, I can bring myself, but I'm so small compared to God, you know. What can I possibly give to God he doesn't already have? Well, think of it like this. Your three-year-old comes up to you, whether it be your three-year-old child or grandson or great-grandson, but they come up to you with this little picture. This is for you. You're not going to go, well, you know, that's not really lifelike, and you did color outside the lines, and that shade of purple doesn't quite go with that man's hair. No, you're going to be like, ah, thank you, because they gave out a heart of love, and that's like with God. Or let's say your grandchild comes up, sees you dusting the house, and they come up and, here, let me help. And they may not be very good at it, but they want to serve, and they want to be part of it. Just like God is going to be like, oh, that's my kid, and they love it. Just serve God with what you have, your time, talent, your treasures, and a joyful heart. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Gladness is really being happy. I'm glad. I'm willing. I take pleasure in doing this. It's not like when you ask someone, take out the trash, and they go, oh, okay. That's not gladness. It's like, sure, darling, anything else you want me to do? Oh. It's not out of obligation or duty. It's because, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Are you shouting? And if so, what are you shouting about? Are you serving? And is it with gladness? You know, people serve all kinds of things. They may not realize it, though. I think Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. Some people serve sports. Some people serve recreation. Some people serve their Xbox. Some people serve their job. Some people serve all kinds of different things other than the Lord. But make sure it's the Lord you're serving with gladness. We want to shout. We want to serve. And we also want to sing. It says, come into his presence with singing. And music is a beautiful thing God has given us. And Christians are singing people. I've heard Buddhists chant. I've heard Muslims pray. I've observed Hindus worshiping, but I've never heard any of them singing. Oh, the Lord gave us vocal cords and melody and harmony, and what a gift. And we as God's people are said, use your whole being to do so. Some people can't sing well, but the Lord doesn't care. That's why he said, make a joyful noise. So be encouraged. We may not give you a mic, but we sure want you to take part. So people of God, be glad, shout, sing, and serve. But why? Why should we do all these things? Look in verse number 3. Because he's God. Know that the Lord is God. The Lord and God, there's two different Hebrew terms right there. There's Yahweh and Elohim. Yahweh, that's the term, the God who watches over, who cares for us, like a loving mother or father, the one who made a covenant and makes promises and keeps them. The other word is Elohim, the all-powerful God who brought creation into existence. The one who created and the one who cares for you, praise that one. Basically, it's saying, the Lord, he is God. The Lord is God. Yahweh is Elohim. That reminds me when I was on Mount Carmel last year. It was so cool to be where Elijah had defeated the prophets of Baal. And all the people, after the fire came down and consumed the offering, the people fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And since God is God, he's the one to be praised. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. And we would do well to remember that, because I'm not God, and neither are you. And so I don't have to be in charge of the universe. I don't have to make sure that air molecules continue to work or hydrogen and oxygen fit together. I don't have to keep all the atoms in place. I don't have to figure out all the details of life. I have to know the one who does and the one who can. I love the fact God is God and you're not. I don't have to save the world. He already did. And he keeps on going. That is amazing. John the Baptist had come onto the scene, and the religious leaders were wondering who he was and what he was about. And so they came to him and said, who are you? And he got it right. He said, I am not the Christ. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. John basically said, Jesus is God, not me. God's God, you're not. And that's what the psalm is saying. The Lord is God. And then he says, it's he that made us, and we are his. Wow. He made us, and he says, you're mine. I have made a little bit of furniture in my life, some of it better than others. And I had a lot of help with the stuff that turned out good. But I got to tell you, I treasure it. When I'm dusting, the few times I do dust, I make sure I don't whack the legs of that thing with the broom or with the vacuum cleaner. I take good care of it because I made it. God has made us. You may have seen the old poster, you know, be patient. God's not finished with me yet, or God don't make junk. He didn't when he made you or me. Psalm 95 says, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. We aren't self-made. He keeps us going. But you belong to him. If you put your trust in him, he puts his stamp upon you and says, you are mine. You belong to me. If anyone wants to get to you, they're going to have to come through me. When I was little, I remember my dad, I'd look up and he was big and he was strong. And I knew he would protect me. You know, I knew he loved me. And if someone wanted to mess with me, they first had to mess with dad. That was a good feeling. It was good to belong to dad. It is even better to belong to God. He says, we are his people. First of all, this referred to Israel. Way back when Abraham was called and said, you are going to be my people. Those who bless you, I will bless. All of us who are in Christ now are his people. You are a chosen people, a holy nation, people for his own possession. So everyone who's called on the name of the Lord for salvation, you are his people. And says we are the sheep of his pasture. We become sheep if we realize we need salvation from our sin. And then God becomes our shepherd. And he cares for us. And so many psalms and passages talk about how he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lamb in his arms. He carries him close to his heart. And gently leads those who have young. We like sheep go astray. And the shepherd keeps bringing us back to himself. And ultimately, though, the Lord is our shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Aren't you glad? We are his people. He is our God. So why should we be glad? Why should we sing and shout and serve? Because he's God. Because he's God. That's reason to be glad. Next thing is we should be grateful. Look in verse 4. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. The scene seems to shift to Jerusalem. You've got the gates of Jerusalem and the courtyard of the temple where the people are gathering. They may have been singing before, but now they're gathering together. And they have taken time to prepare their hearts. I hope that when you come to church rejoicing already, worshiping already. Maybe Saturday night you need to get started and saying, okay, I'm heading to church tomorrow. Lord, be doing something. Help me to be ready. Help me to encourage others, to use my gifts, to be a blessing to you and to others. They're entering with thanksgiving. It's interesting that the Jews, they used all kinds of methods to praise the Lord. They clapped, they lifted their hands, they danced. You know, I've never been clear 100% what the ephod was that David was dancing in, but he did dance before the Lord with all his might, and he didn't care what anyone else thought. He was abandoned unto God. And someday in Revelation, that will be the case. We won't be concerned with what anybody else is thinking. We will be celebrating before our God. Why are we grateful? Why do we bless his name? Well, it's interesting. The result of blessing and worshiping is God blesses us. We bless him, he blesses us. The goal is not, I'm going to bless God so he'll bless me, but that's how it works. It's so amazing when we say, Lord, I just want to give you the praise and honor you do. He does bless us in return. Why should we be grateful? Look in verse 5. Because he's good. It says, the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. He is good. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 119:68, you are good and what you do is good. The Lord never messes up. He never has bad in store for his children. He may allow difficult things to come our way, and in fact, he does, but it ultimately for our good and his glory. It says his love endures forever. He made a covenant way back when, and it was a one-sided deal. He would take the responsibility. And I'm so glad because I have broken my word at times, and others have broken their word to me, but not our God. When he says, I will do something, he always does it. He always fulfills it. He never stops. He is not fickle. He is not frail. He's not afraid. He's not moody. He doesn't get in bad moods and just say, forget you. Oh no, he is good and his love endures forever. It also says he is faithful. And there's faithful, and there's this loyal love. And the Hebrew talks about hesed. And I read that it comes from the word for stork. And the Hebrews must have noticed how storks had an uncommon love and protection for their children. And in a sense, they said, God's love is like that. God's love doesn't end. He nurtures us. He protects us. He cares for us. He depends. He feeds us. His love doesn't depend on us, but upon his character. So who are we to praise? Our God, our shepherd, our king, our maker, our protector, our redeemer, our friend, our savior. And where does it go? It endures to all generations, his faithfulness to all generations. I love that this psalm starts with, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, and it ends with all generations. It was 500 years between the time the psalm was written until Jesus walked the earth and the gospel really was fully open completely once for all for the Gentiles. But guess what? That's still the case. All the earth and all generations. That's why my heart, even at Trail Creek, is for all ages, all stages, young and old, that we would worship the Lord together. We would teach each other. We would serve one another. We would help one another. Because guess what? Someday all generations will say, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Psalm 100, you're called to worship. You're called, be glad and be grateful. Why? Because he's God and because he's good. I hope that you at times will shout with joy for the Lord. I pray you will serve him with gladness, that you will sing to him, that you will give thanks to him, that you will praise him. The Message translation puts Psalm 100 this way. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into his presence. Know this, God is God, and God, God. He made us, we didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank him, worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. This is the God we worship. This is the God who has sought us out and said, you are mine, you are my people, you belong to me. And Jesus says, no one will ever be able to snatch them out of my hand. It is Thanksgiving week still. And I pray that your thanks to our God will be like the Energizer Bunny, which does what? Keeps going and going and going and going. Because when we stop and count our blessings, there are little things. And when we begin to praise God for little things, then we begin to stop and we really begin to say, wow, Lord, and thank you for breath. And thank you for friends. And thank you most of all for Jesus. So let me encourage you. Be glad because God is God. And be grateful because our God is good. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we give you thanks. You have done so much for us. We thank you for who you are and what you have done. We want, O Lord, to be people who give thanks. Let us be people who say thank you and worship you, our great God. In your name I pray, amen.